I would like to speak tonight on the subject of the life and times of that unique man, John the Baptist. And through looking at him, we might see a far greater, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Some words for introduction. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 6, it says these words regarding John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name is John. Sent from God. He was a great prophet. The Lord Jesus did bear witness to this and said that he was, in fact, the greatest of the prophets, because all other prophets in the Old Testament looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. But John the Baptist had the very unique privilege of announcing that the Messiah had come. And he announced him to the world. This man was prophesied of in the Old Testament. If you were to turn to Isaiah 40 and look at verse 3, you will see that it says that there was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. So here we have John as a man sent from God, a prophet, one who is called a voice, just a voice, crying in the wilderness. And he is called also in the Gospel of John, he was called a witness. He was a true and faithful witness of the light. Of course, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is known also as the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. A forerunner was someone who went before an important person in days gone past. If you were to think of Prince Absalom and Prince Adonijah in the Old Testament, two sons of King David, we read in various times that both of them got 15 men, real strong men, to run before them. And as they proceeded on their chariot or horse or whatever it was, these men would go beforehand to run and tell the people, the prince is coming. That's what a forerunner was. And that's what John the Baptist was. He was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a preacher. We read about that even in our first verse here in our chapter. He was preaching in the wilderness. He was a messenger sent from God. The Lord Jesus Christ on another occasion called him a burning and a shining light. Oh, that we could somehow imitate John the Baptist. But I want to look at his life and times, and I have four headings, and I hope to get through them very quickly, for time is running away so much. First of all, I want to have a brief look at his supernatural birth. There was a man in the days of King Herod called Zacharias, and he was a priest. His job was to minister for the people in the house of God in Jerusalem. And he was married, and he had a wife called Elizabeth. And we read that they were old and righteous. But Elizabeth was barren. There was no child born into their home. And we read in our Bibles, you'll find most of this first part in Luke chapter 1. We read that one day Zacharias the priest was in the house of God, and it was his particular lot to burn incense on the golden altar before God. And as the smoke and the perfume went up, the people of God, the Israelites, were outside praying. And Zacharias was doing his bit. But suddenly, we read in our Bible that at the right hand of this golden altar of incense, there was an angel of God. And no doubt it startled Zacharias, and it tells us that he feared it. And the angel said, "Fear not, Zacharias. Your prayer is heard. And your prayer is going to be answered. Your wife, Elizabeth, though she's old and barren, is going to bear you a man child. And his name is to be called John." What a powerful message. This angel said, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of the Lord." And he gave them this wonderful news. But Zacharias couldn't take it in. He didn't believe the angel. And because of his unbelief, the angel told him that he would be struck dumb until the day would come when the words would be fulfilled. So Zacharias was struck dumb. And the Bible tells us the people waited outside for Zacharias, for he was long in coming, and when he came out, he couldn't speak to them. And by some means of communication, he was able to let them know that he had seen a vision. A heavenly visitor had come with a message. Now, we read in our Bibles, and I mustn't prolong it, there was the sureness, the certainty of the promise that the angel came. And in process of time, when Zacharias had fulfilled his office at that time, he went home, and in due time, his wife conceived. And eventually, she bore a baby boy, according to the word of the angel. And it came on the eighth day when it was the duty to have the male child circumcised, and the relatives got round together to name the boy. And Elizabeth said, "We must call him John." But the family said, "Not so. That's not a family name. You must call him Zacharias." So they looked to the father, and he got a writing table, and he wrote on it, "His name is John." And from that moment, his mouth was opened, and he was filled with the Spirit of God, and he spoke great words concerning this boy that God had given to them, that he'd be a great man in the eyes of the Lord. He would be called the prophet of the highest. So here we have the birth of John the Baptist. It was supernatural. It was announced by an angel. We have other births in the Bible announced by angels. Remember Samson, that mighty, unique man with wonderful strength that God gave him from time to time. His birth was announced by an angel. And then we have that greatest of all events, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same angel, Gabriel, announced to Mary that she would bear this boy who would become the Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. This was miraculous. The seed of man was not to be planted into the womb of Mary. And the Lord Jesus Christ was born uniquely and specially because he was not only man in nature, but he was God in nature. He had come from eternity past through the womb of Mary, he was born into this world, a supernatural birth. That's what John the Baptist had and what Jesus Christ had. And another thing I might just point out, that every believer here, if you're a true believer, you have been born supernaturally. To be a Christian is not just an ordinary thing. It's not changing over a leaf or getting a set of rules. It's a transformation. It's a radical change. It's a new birth. You become a different person. You're born again. It's the work of the Holy Ghost in a person's life. So the first thing we would note, John had a supernatural birth. And the second thing I would like to look at in the life of John the Baptist, his extraordinary ministry. It was phenomenal. And yet we read in the Bible that John never did a miracle. But I want you to look at that chapter that we read together and look at verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and Judea and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. Here is this man, and he's out in the desert. He's by the river Jordan, and he lifts up his voice and he's crying to the people to repent, forsake their sin, and as a mark of it, to be baptized in the river Jordan. The people came to him. Can you see the thousands and the tens of thousands coming out, traveling wearily, maybe many, many miles, to this unique preacher and man of God? And we could think of other things. He stirred the whole nation to its heart. He was preparing the way for the Lord. And it seems to me that he was in appearance like a wild man. For we read there in chapter 3 of Matthew and verse 4 that he had raiment, his clothes was camel's hair, and he had a leathern girdle about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. His meat, that word meat in the New Testament and generally in the Bible, you can translate as food. His food was locusts and wild honey. And just to emphasize the point to you, you might remember, I try and do it humorously. Think of this man. In the morning for his breakfast, he got a bowl of locusts. You know what locusts are? They're those insects, those large things with many legs. And I don't think we have them in this country, but in countries I have been, there has been locusts. And we read, of course, in the Bible about plagues of locusts. But this is what he ate. And the Bible tells us, if you were actually to look up in Leviticus chapter 11, you'll see about where the people could eat things that were given by God and other things they were not allowed to eat. And Leviticus 11, verse 22, it reads like this: even these of them ye may eat, the locust after his kind, and the bald locust after his kind, and the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind. So this man was a very strange man to look at. He looked like a wild man, and he lived on locusts and wild honey. Did he hunt among the rocks for where the bees would have built their nests and got the honey? But we're trying to describe this man in his unique, extraordinary ministry. And then I want you to think of the crowd that came to see him. What a great crowd this was. I want you to turn with me, if you like, Luke chapter 3, to show you some things. I want, as it were, like what the TV cameras do today, when they have a crowd, they will focus in on the crowd. And that's what I want to do at this moment, to look at this crowd that came to John the Baptist and focus in on the crowd. Now, if you look at Luke 3, verses 10 and 11, we have the ordinary people like you and I, the common 5-8, and they have listened to John the Baptist in the previous verses. And they say, what shall we do then? They were stirred up to action. This man has a message from God, and what shall we do? And tells us there, he gives them counsel in verse 11. He answereth and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. To be compassionate. And to be given out of the riches that you have. Now, that's the ordinary people. And then if you look at the next verse, we have another class of people. We have the publicans. Now, these were the people that were not liked among their own people. These were the tax collectors. The people who had joined the Roman party, as it were, and were bleeding their own people of the taxes. And they had come to hear John the Baptist. And they said, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Do not be fiddling the books in your business. Be straight up and down. So we have the people, the publicans, and then look at the next verse 14. And the soldiers. Now, I presume these are Roman soldiers. Likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? Here are these different parties of people, and the man of God has stirred them up in their hearts, and they said, what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And so these were some of the people. The people, the publicans, the soldiers. And then, if you look with me, it tells us also that harlots, those women who had sold their bodies for sin. If you were to look at Matthew 21 and verse 32, it says, the Lord Jesus Christ says to the chief priests and elders, he says in Matthew 21 verse 32, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. So John was a blessing in his preaching to those women who had become harlots. And they were saved. And then there's other people. Look at our chapter that we read together in verse 7. You'll read there's two other parties came to hear John the Baptist. There was the Pharisees. Now, they were the religious people of the day. They conceived themselves to be the holy people of God, separated unto him. But actually, we know from the words of the Lord Jesus, in particular, Matthew 23. You take look at that chapter. It's a whole sermon. Where Jesus takes up the Pharisees and he preaches on and he exposes time after time their great hypocrisy. They looked great from outside, but inside they were rotten, guilty, depraved sinners, full of pride and arrogancy. But they came to hear John the Baptist, along with the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees were those men who were the intellects of the day. And they did not believe in the supernatural. There's no such thing as an angel. There's no such thing as the resurrection of the dead. That's what the Sadducees were. But they thought they were very clever. And they opposed with the Pharisees the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. So these people were among the people that came to John the Baptist. Do you see what John said to them in verse 7? But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And we could go on. If we were to look in John 1 and verse 19, you'll find that there were priests came to John the Baptist. There were Levites, those who were the teachers of the law. And I want to, in my imagination, this might not be the truth, but I want to, in my imagination, think that one day while John was preaching at Jordan, suddenly there's this great stir and a great stirring of dust. And lo and behold, there's an important person coming to hear him in his chariot with his soldiers. It's King Herod himself. For we read in Mark chapter 6, verse 20, it says, For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. So the king of Judah came to hear John the Baptist. What a stir it would be if somebody important of our land came into our service here tonight. But I want to say something more. There was a greater than the king came. For one day, the Lord Jesus Christ came. Do you see it there in our chapter in verse 13? It says, Then cometh Jesus from Galilee unto John to be baptized of him. The King of all kings, God manifest in the flesh, came out deliberately to John the Baptist, and he requested to be baptized of John. But John at first said, Oh, I need to be baptized. But the Lord said, Do it for righteousness' sake. And the Lord Jesus was baptized by John in the river Jordan. And we read there, look at those wonderful words in verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he, that is John the Baptist, saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What a unique experience. Oh, if it was one day in the life of this world that I would have liked to have seen and witnessed of that. Because here we have a manifestation of the great Holy Trinity of God. God the Father in heaven speaking. God the Son in the river and coming up out of it. God the Holy Spirit coming down as a dove. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost all manifested at the one time on this earth. Think of it. The eternal God of heaven. What a thing that was. I say to you that John the Baptist had an extraordinary ministry indeed. The third thing, and we must hurry on. Not only do we have a supernatural birth and an extraordinary ministry, but he had a powerful message. It was a stupendous, astounding, remarkable message. Now, I haven't time to go into it all tonight, but I just want to quickly mention three things that John the Baptist believed and taught as his doctrine. First of all, he preached repentance, which of course brings in the doctrine of sin. And repentance means turning from sin unto God. Having a change of heart and a change of mind. I wonder tonight, is there anyone in this service and you're not a Christian? The counsel of the Word of God to you tonight is to repent. and turn from your wicked way and seek the Lord. John believed in repentance, and therefore he believed in the doctrine of sin, the great doctrine in the Bible. And the second thing I would like to point out that he believed in hell fire. Did you not read it there in the scriptures with me? Verse 12, the last part of concerning the Lord. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And follow up the chapter, it talks about in verse 7, from the wrath to come. Oh, dear sinner friend tonight, if you have not got the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are in dreadful peril, and we're deadly serious tonight. There's nothing but a breath keeps you from eternal fire. Fire that cannot be put out. Unquenchable fire. Not all the oceans and rivers of this world can put out hell's fire. So be warned tonight. And flee from the wrath that is to come. The third thing that John believed in and taught was the substitutionary blood atonement through the Lord Jesus Christ. He called the Lord Jesus Christ the Lamb of God. Did he not say to the disciples in John 1 verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, making an offering as the Lamb of God to make satisfaction for our dreadful iniquities and sins. What a glorious message this is. This is a gospel of God. This is the very heart of it. Jesus being a substitute for sinners, taking their place and dying in their place. Do you know Jesus Christ tonight? Can you say he died for me? Can you say he is my substitute? Oh, that you might be earnestly entreated to come to him. Right now, while you're in time. The last thing I would like you to notice about John the Baptist, and that is his sudden death. You'll read about this story in Mark chapter 6. Very briefly, it was King Herod's birthday. And he decided to have a ball, a party, and he got a lot of his lords and ladies together to have a good time. His lords, his high captains, and the chief of Galilee, he got all together to celebrate his birthday. And no doubt the drink flowed, and there was their way of making merry. But while this party was in vogue, we find that there was a young girl there. And she came out to dance in front of the crowd. And she must have been a wonderful dancer. She was the daughter of Herodias, who was living with King Herod. She wasn't King Herod's wife, Herodias, but she was the wife of Herod's brother Philip. And so Herod was living in adultery with this woman. And John the Baptist had pointed this out. You should not be living with this woman. But it was her daughter who was doing the dancing. And King Herod was bewitched. He was absolutely bewitched by this little girl twirling about on the floor. And he called her and he said, "Ask me anything on the half of my kingdom, and I will give it to you." And he swore it before the crowd. And the wee girl, not knowing what has went to her mommy, and she said, "What shall I ask?" And her mommy was very quick. "Ask for the head of John the Baptist." She hated John the Baptist because of his faithfulness in pointing out her adulterous relationship with the king. And so the wee girl came back to King Herod and she said, I would like the head of John the Baptist brought to me on a plate, on a platter. Now Herod was in a fix now. But he's before the crowd and he had made his oath. And so he calls for his executioner and he says, go fetch the head of John the Baptist. Now we know from other sources in the Bible that John at this time was in prison. He was in prison, the man of God in prison. And I want you to come with me in your imagination down into that cell in Jerusalem. And there you have this man of God, John the Baptist. I don't know whether he's in chains or what, but he's in secure prison. And he hears the tramp of the soldiers and the rattle of the key being turned in the door. And he looks up and they call him, come out. And a few moments' time, his head is lopped off by the executioner's axe. I want to point out two things and then we're finished here. John the Baptist's death was sudden and totally unexpected to him. That brings me to another question for you tonight. Are you ready for death? It could come tonight so quickly and so suddenly and so unexpectedly. Are you right with God? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? My, it's time tonight to stir yourself and say, I'm coming. Save me. Because who knows? You may not live till tomorrow. Sudden and unexpected. No doubt John went to glory that day. His disciples came and carried his body and buried it. But his head was given to this little girl. I wonder whatever happened to it. But that's another question. But I say to you in closing tonight, be prepared. John was prepared. And many here tonight are prepared. But are you prepared? Oh, that you might by our pleading tonight, we would point you to the Lamb of God. Come just as you are.